This is Voice of Korea.
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 Now, we begin the English language transmission from Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Dear listeners, you're welcome to Voice of Korea. Now, here is what you can hear in this transmission. First, the news. The news is followed by the last installment of Section 1. We struck Commander Wang and won over Wanshin of Chapter 13 towards Mount Paektor from the reminiscences of the great leader President Kim Il-sung with the century. And then we present an account. June 15th North-South Joint Declaration provided a turning point for Korea's reunification. After that we present an article. National independence is the invariable cornerstone of the Korean reunification movement. And then the fourth installment of the essay, Two Important Miracles Wrought in Korea in the East, written by Roland Velle Mukelenge, professor of the Kinshasa University of the Democratic Congo. Finally, we present a radio forum, We'll Ruthlessly Mow Down the Provokers, and Yulin Jason songs between the programs.
Now, here is the news. The great leader Kim Jong-il, General Secretary of the Workers' Party of Korea, Chairman of the National Defense Commission of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and Supreme Commander of the Korean People's Army, together with service personnel of the Korean People's Army, appreciated performances given by art circles of servicemen's families of Unit 526, 837, 564, 593, 963-10215 and 762 of the Korean People's Army and Unit 7501 of the Korean People's Interior Forces that participated in the 3rd Korean People's Army Servicemen's Family Art Circle Contest of the second term. When he appeared in the auditorium, all the audience enthusiastically welcomed him with loud cheers. The Servicemen's Family Art Circle members put on the stage quartet The Eternal Smile, Solo, I Am the Wife of an Officer, National Instrumentalists Chorus, Victory of Sun and Air, Chorus, So Long as You Are with the General, and other colorful items of different genres. After the performance was over, leader Kim Jong-il warmly acknowledged the enthusiastically cheering performers and audience and congratulated the performers on their successful performances. He expressed great satisfaction over the performance of perfect ideological and artistic value given by the servicemen's family art circle members with excellent works of great cognitive and instructive significance. And he highly appreciated their successful performances and gave thanks to the performers. He said the dynamic servicemen's families' art activities and all units of the whole army are another proud revolutionary soldiers' culture created in the Sungun era and serve as a powerful motive force vigorously arousing the Korean army and people to national defense and the cause of building a great, prosperous, and powerful nation. Leader Kim Jong-il said, in the course of the servicemen's family art circle contest held every year, the cultural attainments of servicemen's families were markedly improved and the level of art performances was rapidly developed and put forth highly important tasks which would serve as a guideline in more vigorously conducting mass cultural and art activities.
The great leader Kim Jong-il received the congratulatory letter sent by the Central Committee of the South Korean Anti-Imperialist National Democratic Front on the 15th, on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the historic June 15th Joint Declaration. The letter said, with the adoption of the Joint Declaration, the Korean nation could have the banner of victory to be constantly maintained in the struggle to bring the morning of independent reunification and the grand era of bi-national self, a new era of independent reunification, has opened in Korea. Busy as he was with his first march of high intensity for the Sungun-based revolutionary leadership, respected Kim Jong-il always paid deep attention to the implementation of the Joint Declaration and devoted his all so as to develop the South-North relations and achieve national reconciliation and unity, and firmly ensured the advance of the June 15th era, frustrating the reckless war movements of the splittists with invincible arms. In the recent June 2nd elections to local autonomous bodies, the Progressive Forces for Reunification in Form Unity gave a great defeat to the pro-US Conservative Grand National Party. It was a powerful demonstration of the firm will of our people to defend the June 15th Joint Declaration to the end. The letter expressed the resolve to frustrate the reckless war moves of the anti-reunification forces at home and abroad and actively support and defend the Sungun politics of respect to Kim Jong-il, a firm guarantee to defend peace of this land and bring reunification earlier. It sincerely wished to respect to Kim Jong-il good health.
The great leader, Kim Jong-il, received a letter sent by the Central Standing Committee of the General Association of Korean Residents in Japan on the 15th, on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the historic June 15th Joint Declaration. The letter said, as respected Kim Jong-il provided the June 15th Joint Declaration, the milestone of national reunification in the 21st century, the glamorous June 15th era has opened to put an end to over half a century-long history of distrust and confrontation and vigorously open a wide avenue of independent reunification with concerted efforts of the Korean nation. Thanks to your special favor, the road has opened for the compatriots under the General Association of Korean Residents in Japan to visit their hometowns in South Korea and the Kumgangsan Opera Troupe and the Art Troupe of Korean school children in Japan could give performances in South Korea. Officials of the General Association and other compatriots took part in the reunification events held in South Korea and demonstrated true features and warm aspiration for reunification of the General Association that has covered the patriotic road generation after generation under the wise guidance of the father leader, President Kim Il-sung and respected Kim Jong-il. The South Korean pro-US conservative ruling forces are making desperate efforts to create a touch-and-go crisis of war in the homeland, running amok for confrontation with fellow countrymen at the instigation of the United States. But nobody can check the dynamic advance the whole fellow countrymen are making toward independent reunification, holding respected Kim Jong-il in high esteem as the lodestar of reunification. The letter sincerely wished the respected leader Kim Jong-il good health.
The Korean documentary, The Great Leader Kim Jong-il Meets President Kim Dae-jung, was screened at the People's Palace of Culture in Pyongyang on Monday. Appreciating the documentary were cadres of the state, chairpersons of friendly parties, officials of the public organizations, ministries and other national institutions, members of the North Committee for the Implementation of the June 15th Joint Declaration, the North Headquarters of the Pan-National Alliance for Korea's Reunification, and the Pan-National Alliance of Youth and Students for Korea's Reunification, and working people in Pyongyang. Also seeing the documentary were Seo Min, representative of the Pyongyang branch of the South Korean Anti-Imperialist National Democratic Front, Reverend Han Sang-jil, pro-reunification figure from South Korea, overseas compatriots staying in the Socialist Homeland, and foreign diplomatic representatives and members of the Foreign Military Attaches Corps in Korea. The documentary impressively shows that the inter-Korean summit meeting was provided and the June 15th Joint Declaration published for the first time in the history of national division under the experienced and seasoned leadership of respected Kim Jong-il, who made tireless efforts to carry out the great leader President Kim Il-sung's instructions for national reunification.
A national meeting was held at the People's Palace of Culture in Pyongyang on the 14th, in commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the June 15th Joint Declaration. Present at the meeting were cadres of the party and state, chairpersons of friendly parties, officials of public organizations, ministries and other national institutions, officials of institutions of science, education, culture and art, public health and the press, members of the North Committee for the Implementation of the June 15th Joint Declaration, the North Headquarters of the Pan-National Alliance for Korea's Reunification, and the Pan-National Alliance of Youth and Students for Korea's Reunification, and Working People, Youth and Students in Pyongyang. Also present there were Cho Il-min, representative of the Pyongyang branch of the South Korean Anti-Imperialist National Democratic Front, Reverend Han Sang-jil, pro-reunification figure from South Korea, and overseas compatriots staying in the socialist homeland. Invited there were foreign diplomatic representatives, members of Foreign Military Attaches Corps, and representatives of international organizations in Korea. Yang Hyun-sub, alternate member of the Political Bureau of the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea, and Vice President of the Presidium of the Supreme People's Assembly of the DPRK, made a report. He said, "It is everlasting distinguished exploits of the great leader Kim Jong-il for the times and nation that he provided a North-South Summit meeting and a June 15th Joint Declaration and opened a bright prospect of independent reunification at a historic turn to the new millennium. Great Kim Jong-il provided another North-South Summit meeting and the October 4th Declaration, the action program of the June 15th Joint Declaration in Pyongyang in October 2007. Today, the movers of anti-reunification forces for confrontation with compatriots and their war movers are getting extremely vicious in South Korea. But the people's advance for the implementation of the North-South Joint Declarations gets more active, and the patriotic movement for reunification is further strengthened on a nationwide scale at home and abroad as the days go by. This reality clearly proves that the June 15th Joint Declaration and the October 4th Declaration are the great programs for independent reunification and the banner of national prosperity, which most correctly reflect the aspiration and will of the whole fellow countrymen. The whole fellow countrymen in the North and the South and abroad, with firm conviction and optimism for a rosy future of a reunified country, should smash the reckless war movers of the U.S. imperialists and the South Korean puppets and wage a more resolute struggle to achieve independent and peaceful reunification of the country under the banner of by our nation itself," the reporter stressed. Meanwhile, a central photo exhibition was opened at the People's Palace of Culture in Pyongyang on Monday, on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the June 15th Joint Declaration.
Political parties and organizations of the DPRK made public a joint statement on the 15th, on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the historic June 15th Joint Declaration. The statement said the historic June 15th Joint Declaration, whose core is the idea of by a nation itself, is the reunification program of the new century, which provides the practiced principles, orientation, and ways for the solution of the reunification issue and the supreme banner of reunification integrating the general will of the nation and all the agreements between the North and the South in the past and continued. The present South Korean conservative government, viciously persisting in sycophantic treachery and confrontation with the fellow countrymen, trampled the June 15th joint declaration and doggedly hindered its implementation and thus drove the inter-Korean relations into catastrophe. It also fabricated such extra-large conspiratorial farce as the sinking of the warship and the bringing dark clouds of war to the Korean Peninsula. The victory of the Democratic Progressive Camp and the defeat of the conservatives in the recent elections to local autonomous bodies in South Korea are a victory of the June 15th force aspiring after peace and reunification, victory of the patriotic force for reunification, and due punishment of the people on those seeking for division, confrontation, and war. The statement expressed the belief that the international organizations and governments, political parties and organizations in all countries of the world that desire peace and reunification of the Korean Peninsula would extend active support and encouragement to the will and efforts of the Korean nation to check and frustrate the confrontation and war moves of the United States and the South Korean puppets, defend and implement the June 15th joint declaration, and reunify the country as early as possible.
A delegation of the People's Unity Party of Tunisia, headed by General Secretary Muhammad Bouchiha, arrived in Pyongyang by air on the 14th and laid a bouquet at the foot of the bronze statue of the great leader Kim Il-sung on Mansu Hill and paid homage to him.
An event of World Blood Donor Day was held at the People's Palace of Culture in Pyongyang on the 14th. Present there were officials of the Ministry of Public Health and institutions concerned and voluntary blood donors of the DPRK. Also present there were members of the mission of the World Health Organization in Korea, a member of the delegation of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies active in Korea, the ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary of the Kingdom of Sweden to the DPRK, and other foreign guests. The speakers at the event referred to the importance of World Blood Donor Day and the blood transfusion service being done under the cooperation of the World Health Organization and the International Federation of Red Cross and the Red Crescent Society. At the event, certificates were conveyed to the voluntary blood donors and the video was projected. The participants looked around the photos displayed on the occasion of World Blood Donor Day and appreciated the performance of the itinerant art agitation squad of the Pyongyang Railway Bureau.
The Korean Central News Agency released on Monday a detailed information under title, "Those running count to the June 15th reunification era will not escape a stern judgment of the nation," on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the historic June 15th Joint Declaration. The information said, with the publication of the declaration, the whole land of Korea was heated with enthusiasm for reunification, severed blood vessels and territory were relinked, the way of tourism of Mount Gumbang widely opened, and the Kaesong Industrial Zone built, giving great pleasure to the entire fellow countrymen. However, since the traitorous Lee Myung-bak group came to power in South Korea in February 2008, the inter-Korean relations have been worsened out of control. The information gave a detailed account of the deliberate and systematic anti-reunification moves of the Lee Myung-bak group, who hell-bent on pro-US sycophantic and suffocation of the fellow countrymen, ruptured the inter-Korean relations in a little more than 2 years after the assumption of office.
Members of the South Committee for the Implementation of the June 15th Joint Declaration, the Solidarity for Progress, the National Federation of Peasants Associations and other civic and public organizations, representatives of the opposition parties and citizens of different sections in South Korea met in Seoul on the 13th and held an all-people rally for peaceful reunification in commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the June 15th Joint Declaration and denounced the traitor Lee Myung-bak and his group for their confrontation moves against the DPRK. Earlier, a function for the 10th anniversary of the June Declaration took place in Changwon, South Gyeongsang Province, South Korea, on the 12th, under the sponsorship of the South Gyeongsang Provincial Headquarters of the South Committee for the Implementation of the June 15th Joint Declaration.
Internet news agency Radio Utopia of Germany on the 9th reported an article titled Deception of People Leads to Ruin, commenting on the South Korean traitor Lee Myung-bak Group's defeat in the elections to local autonomous bodies. The news agency said, the Grand National Party, a group of South Korean puppets of the United States, and Lee Myung-bak fabricated a case of sinking of the warship Cheonan and linked it to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea in a bid to trigger off war phobia in South Korea and gain support in the elections to local autonomous bodies. But the Grand National Party suffered an ignominious defeat in the elections. The result of the recent elections is a summary of Lee Myung-bak's extreme confrontation policy against the DPRK and the due judgment of the South Korean people to the present regime. If the United States continues to do arbitrary practices instead of learning a lesson therefrom, it will eventually face a defeat, the news agency stressed.
The Chinese Xinhua News Agency and Beijing Daily and the Russian Tatars reported between the 11th and the 12th, the answerable spokesman for the National Defense Commission of the DPRK to a question raised by the Korean Central News Agency as regards the fact that the traitorous Lee Myung-bak group senselessly referred to the UN arena. The distorted allegation that the sinking of warship is linked to the DPRK and the conspiratorial results of investigation. And this is the end of the news read by Chung Chul and Kim Hyun-ok. This is Voice of Korea.
The Daily Rodong-sinmun of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea on the 15th carried a commentary on the title, What is the purpose of the fabrication of the conspiratorial case? The commentary said, recently, the United States instigated the South Korean puppets to refer to the UN Security Council the case of the sinking of the warship Cheonan they linked to the DPRK in a foolish attempt to defile us as the mastermind of the conspiratorial case. The US allegation that we made a torpedo attack on the South Korean warship has no reasonable ground, and the case is a clumsy conspiratorial farce and charade orchestrated by the United States from A to Z. The commentary exposed in detail and mentioned the importance of the Okinawa U.S. military base to the United States. The commentary continued to say, the South Korean puppets announced the so-called results of investigation in haste on the day when the U.S. Secretary of State arrived in Japan. Hatoyama himself confessed that the case of the Cheonan was a decisive factor that compelled him to obey the U.S. demand in the issue of the removal of the Okinawa U.S. military base. Considering all facts, there is no doubt that the United States is the wire puller and mastermind of the case of the Cheonan. It is a matter of time that the tricksters are brought to the dock of the international court. That was the gist of commentary on the title, What is the Purpose of the Fabrication of the Conspiratorial Case, carried in the Daily Rodong-sinmun on the 15th. This is the Voice of Korea. Will answer the resumption of the South Korean puppet's psychological warfare against the DPRK with an all-out military attack on all the front. Important declaration of the General Staff of the Korean People's Army. The commander of the Korean People's Army forces in the central sector of the front has already solemnly declared a term and abroad the resolute stand of our army that if the South Korean traitors resume the anti-DPRK psychological warfare in the front areas, they'll completely smash all means of psychological warfare, including loudspeakers, through direct shooting. Nevertheless, the South Korean traitors, crazy for confrontation with fellow countrymen, are running wild in the preparations for the resumption of all-out psychological warfare against the DPRK in the front areas. After traitor Lee Myung-bak made a public a so-called statement to the people on May the 24th, Puppet Minister of National Defense Kim Tae-young proclaimed measures to resume psychological warfare against the DPRK, and later the puppets have already installed loudspeakers for psychological warfare at 11 places along the military demarcation line and pushed forward the preparations to install the loudspeakers at over 30 places for the second stage and at 94 places in a prospective way. And they are planning to put up even electric light displays for psychological warfare at 11 places. The traitor's attempt to resume the psychological warfare against the DPRK is an open breach of the historic June 15th Joint Declaration, promised the whole nation, and a North-South military agreement drafted on its basis. It is also an extra-large provocation encroaching on our dignity and the supreme interests of the state. In view of the fact that military psychological warfare is one of the main operational forms in the performance of war, the installment of the means of the psychological warfare against the DPRK is a direct declaration of war on us. Therefore, our revolutionary armed forces, as the commander of the forces in the central sector of the front already warned solemnly, will go into an all-out military strike to completely clear off the traitor's means of psychological warfare against the DPRK on all the front. The resolute military strike of our revolutionary armed forces is never one-to-one counteraction pursuant to the proportional principle clamored about by the traitors. They must know that our military counteraction is a merciless military strike envisaging even turning Seoul, the stronghold of the traitors, into a sea of flames. Pyongyang, June 12th, 2009 or 2010. Dear listeners, now is the time for the great leader, President Kim Il-sung's reminiscences with the century. Installment of Section 1, we strike Commander One and One over One Shin of Chapter 13 towards Mount Baktu. Later we heard that Commander One's funeral ceremony was held in a grand manner. The funeral also helped to spread the news of our army. The news spread widely among the enemy soldiers, who said that they would gain nothing but death by fighting our revolutionary army. The Battle of Sinansa and the Battle of Huangnihezi, where Wang was punished, are described in detail in the novel History by Han Solia. After eliminating Wang, we plan to overwhelm the Japanese troops and thereby keep Fusun County completely under our control. We sent her to recast of scouts and collected information from all directions, learning that approximately 60 Japanese troops would move by boat from Fusun towards Lingjiang, as luck would have it. I immediately arranged an ambush. This battle also gave us great satisfaction. Most of the enemy soldiers were drowned, and only a dozen narrowly escaped by a damaged boat. During repeated battles of this kind, Fusun area came under our sway. During the summer, we spent some time at Daing. We pitched a tent by the hot spring and did various work, setting up subordinate organizations of the Association for the Restoration of the Fatherland, arranging a printing shop, tailor's shop, weapons repair shop, hospital, and building other secret camps in the forest of Fusun and Lingjiang. An enemy post was located beyond a small hill from our camp. On our arrival at Daing, we notified the enemy in writing that we are staying at the hot spring for some time and that they should therefore refrain from appearing before us or running off anywhere, but should stay where they were, sending the supplies we needed, adding that if they did so, we'd guarantee them security. Although they were within hailing distance, the enemy did not provoke us or run away. They obeyed our demand for supplies. When we demanded canvas shoes, they brought canvas shoes. When we demanded flour, they brought flour by carts. Around this time, Wang Shen sent a messenger to us with greetings and congratulations on the destruction of Commander Wang. Later, the old man himself came to the hot spring to pay us a visit. He came of his own accord, although he had not even replied to our proposal to form a common front, a proposal we had made by letter and by sending a messenger. The old man's visit came as a surprise. Previously, we had paid visits to Commander Yu and Wu Yicheng to form a common front. After removing Commander Wang, famous Wang Shun came to visit us in prison. I found at a glance that Wanshin was much older than 50. His eyes were dim, probably because of the poisonous effect of opium. At our meeting, he said, "All the soldiers of my anti-Japanese unit regard you, Commander Kim, as the greatest benefactor who has done away with Wang. I've come to thank you, Commander Kim, and tell you that I wish to seal brotherhood with you. Please forget the displeasure caused by my foolish conduct of dotage in the past, and form gradually with me, keeping a generous understanding of me, as I have come a long way to see you." Wang Xun's request embarrassed me for a while. When I proposed the same terms I'd offered commanders Yu and Wei Cheng, when realizing the common fund, I said I'd consider the matter of Jia Li if he accepted these terms. According to these terms, his anti-Japanese unit should establish friendly relations with us and remain a friendly force, should on no account surrender to the Japanese imperialists or rob the people of their property, protect our operatives and liaison men, and exchange information regularly with us. To my surprise, Wanshin agreed to all these conditions with pleasure. As I explained each of the terms, he nodded, exclaiming, "Excellent opinion," or "Excellent interpretation." Consequently, we formed a common front within a few hours, and the two armies became friendly. Since then, Wang should never betray the agreement. Our campaign to strike Commander Wang and win over Wang Shen marked a significant step in the struggle of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army after a long-term meeting. The event was significant, as we demonstrated the might of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army by displaying military supremacy over the enemy, and as our tireless efforts in the Fusong area laid solid stepping stones used to advance the Mount Baekdo area. These efforts left an indelible impression on the road to realizing a common front between the people's and patriotic forces of Korea and China. You've just heard the last installment of Section 1, where struck Commander Wang and won over Wanshun, of Chapter 13, towards Mount Baekdo, from the great leader President Kim Il-sung's reminiscences with a century. This is the Voice of Korea.
We now bring your main solo, "Long Life to Generalissimo Kim Il-sung." Thank you.
will now present an account and attention. June the 15th, North-South Joint Declaration provided a turning point for Korea's reunification. On June the 15th, 2000, the June 15th North-South Joint Declaration was made public in Korea for the first time in the history of 55 years national division, which opened the turning phase for the country's reunification. It was a brilliant creation of the immortal leadership of Kim Jong-il, who has been devoting his all to the reunification of Korea. In the new century, leader Kim Jong-il put forward an important proposal for a summit meeting of the North and the South in Pyongyang so as to open a turning phase for Korea's reunification. In April 2000, the historical April 8th Inter-Korean Agreement was announced in Korea and declared projected Pyongyang summit meeting of the North and the South and inter-Korean high-level talks. On June 13th, 2000, leader Kim Jong-il received the top leader of South Korea coming to Pyongyang at the airport. The following day, he had tete-a-tete talks with him and discussed on adopting a declaration to give hope and future for national reunification to the 70 million fellow countrymen. This is how the historic North-South Joint Declaration was published on June the 15th, dealing with 5-point issues, including the issue for the North and the South to solve the question of the country's reunification independently with the concerted efforts of the Korean nation, the master of the issue, and the issue for the North and the South to work together for reunification on the basis of the community of the low-level federation proposed by the North and the Commonwealth system proposed by the South. The June 15th North-South Joint Declaration was a declaration of national independence, a declaration of independent reunification, a declaration of national unity, and a declaration oriented to reunification. It opened a new turning phase for national reunification, unprecedented in the 55-year-long history of national division. For 10 years after the publication of the June 15th North-South Joint Declaration, the Korean nation made a proud success in the struggle for independent reunification of the country under the banner of by our nation itself. Amid the cheers of reunification shaking the whole land, the bloodline and territory which had been severed for more than half a century were relieved, and the feasts of great national unity were gradually held in different parts of Korea. Tourism of Mount Kumgang started, and the Kaesong Industrial Zone was built in Kaesong in the middle of Korea, greatly pleasing the whole fellow countrymen. In October 2007, the historic October 4th Declaration, an action program of the June 15th Joint Declaration and the blueprint of peace and prosperity, was made public, greatly encouraging the enthusiasm of the entire Korean nation for reunification once again. But the movement of Korea's reunification faced a grave difficulty owing to the anti-DPRK moves of the South Korean traitorous Lee Myung-bak group who came to power. As soon as it came to power, the South Korean Lee Myung-bak regime revealed its true colors as a group of sycophantic traitors swimming against national reunification. In recent days alone, traitor Lee Myung-bak and his group of South Korea poured cold water on the enthusiasm of the Korean nation for reunification under the pretext of the sinking of its puppet army's warship on the West Sea, and are persisting in their frantic war moves. No matter how desperately they may move, the anti-reunification splittists cannot break the will of the fellow countrymen for reunification and arrest the trend of the times towards independent reunification. The Korean nation will wage a more dynamic struggle under the banner of the June 15th Joint Declaration, an immortal program in the year of independent reunification, and build a unified, prosperous country in Korea. You've been listening to an account under the title, June 15th North-South Joint Declaration provided a turning point for Korea's reunification. This is Voice of Korea.
Now this time we present a mixed chorus. June 15th for reunification. Of many days we greeted and spent, June 15th was warmly greeted by all fellow countrymen in jubilee. June 15th for reunification, reflecting the will of our nation to remove the barrier of painful division. June 15th for reunification, the day when we will shout hurrah for Korea of the Sun.
Now present an article under the title, National Independence is the Invariable Cornerstone of the Korean Reunification Movement. What is important in advancing the course of Korea's reunification victoriously at present is to firmly adhere to the principle of solving the issue of reunification on the strength of national independence. The master of the destiny of the nation is the nation itself, and nobody except the nation can shape the destiny. Accordingly, the issue of Korea's reunification can be solved only by its master, the Korean nation. The outside force, the divider of Korea and obstructor of reunification, has persistently obstructed the reunification movement of the Korean nation, seeking for their criminal and greedy interests in the division of the Korean peninsula and the inter-Korean confrontation. It is the fundamental factor hindering the uniform development and prosperity of the Korean nation with outstanding resources and wisdom and excellent creativity. When many countries and nations of the world are advancing towards progress and prosperity. For national reunification and prosperity of the nation, it is necessary to pull strength with the fellow countrymen, not depending on outsiders. Especially, it is important to keep the stand of placing the dignity and interests of the nation above all other things and discussing and solving the issue of the country's reunification between the nation. The June 15th Joint Declaration, adopted in 2000, is based on the idea of national independence on solving the issue of reunification, the national issue, with the strength of the Korean nation itself in keeping with its will and interests without interference of outsiders. But our nation itself is an independent idea and common idea of the nation, reflecting the will and demand of the nation. It is firmly kept in the hearts of the entire fellow countrymen as a motto for shaping the destiny of the nation. When the Korean nation pulls strength, there is nothing to fear and nothing impossible in the world. But our nation itself is and will be the banner of the times to be held high by the Korean nation forever. The acts of the present South Korean rulers, who are turning back on the trend of the times and totally negating the reunification movement by our nation itself in league with outsiders, are treacherous acts against the stand of national independence. Only ruin will be given to traitor Lee Myung-bak and his group of South Korea, who are turning back on the nation and staking their fate on confrontation and war. National independence is the banner of victory of national reunification, and its validity has already been confirmed. The entire Korean nation in the North and the South and abroad will regard national independence as the invariable cornerstone of reunification movement and accelerate the grand march of national reunification more vigorously. You've been listening to an article entitled, National Independence is the Invariable Cornerstone of the Korean Reunification Movement. This is Voice of Korea.
This time we present the fourth installment of the essay, Two Important Miracles Wrought in Korea in the East, written by Roland Wilhelm Kelenge, professor of the Kinshasa University of the Democratic Congo. Here I maintain that the building of a great prosperous and powerful country in Korea is another miracle. The human history is also said to be the history of states. The history of states has some records that a certain country became an empire by invading and conquering other countries, but no record that a country with not a large territory and population set a target of building a powerful state and realized it. However, Korea, a small country, put forward a grand plan for building a great prosperous and powerful country and has already finished the building of the most difficult political power, ideological power, and military power, and is achieving great successes in the building of an economic power. What can be said about these changes in Korea? This is really a miracle, that is, a miracle in the state building, I should say. I, an African scholar, insist more firmly that the building of a thriving country in the small country Korea is a miracle because the building is being done in the most arduous trials unprecedented in history. In the middle of the 1990s, Korea was experiencing the severest trials known to the world as Arduous March and Forced March. The economic difficulties were accompanied by shortage of food owing to gas, long drought, typhoon and tidal waves, repeated for several years. The imperialist Allied forces took advantage of these disasters to tighten the chains of economic sanctions and use of blockade as close as possible, saying the economic downfall of Korea is a matter of time. The difficulty was the worst adversity and greatest ordeal that could have cruelly destroyed the economy of a country 100 times or more. But Korea announced a plan to build a Juche-guided socialist thriving country despite the arduous trials before clearing off the adversity and difficulties, and is waging an all-out decisive battle to hit the target of building a thriving country they have chosen amid the severest imperialist sanctions and blockade the human history has ever known. It is a miraculous event.
Then the problem is what weight the miracle of building the thriving country in Korea has and how great its influence is. I'd like to say that the building of the thriving country in Korea too has a world historic meaning far surpassing the national historic meaning. The prosperous socialist country of GCF Korea is characterized as a country which is strong in national power, prospering in everything, and whose people are the happiest in the world, and qualified as a people-centered country where the people are respected as God, an independent country with a Juche character and national character as its life and soul, and an invisible Sungun-oriented country demonstrating its might as a natural power. In other words, it is a people-centered, independent, and Sungun or army-first state. In view of its appearance, it is a political power, an ideological power, military power, and economic power. I consider that the crystallization of these characteristics, quality, and appearance is the Juche-based prosperous socialist country of Korea. It is tens of centuries after the birth of states, hundreds of years after Thomas More presented utopian socialism, and nearly 20 years after the great political convulsion of the collapse of the socialist power that left great traces for more than 70 years. It is the desire I would like to confess to tell the world that the true ideal people-centered country mankind so long desired and numerous politicians, philosophers, and thinkers looked for and discussed on so much in the protracted flow of history is the Juche-guided prosperous socialist country of Korea. In a nutshell, I think humanity has found out an ideal country in Korea after 5,000 years' search. Isn't it a great fortune of humankind and a great event of the world? The world of history will solemnly record 2012 as the birth year of an ideal country of humankind, the first Juche-guided prosperous socialist nation. So far we presented the fourth installment of the essay, Two Important Miracles Wrought in Korea in the East, written by Roland Wilhelm Kelenge, professor of the Kinshasa University of the Democratic Congo. Please wait for the next installment. This is Voice of Korea.
This time we present a radio forum of Kim Yong-sung, worker of the Pyongyang General Printing House, under the title, Will Mercilessly Mow Down the Provokers.
지금 김영박 회장은 지난 3월에 일어난 항성 침몰 사건을 계기로 방공화국 몰락 소동에 미쳐 날뛰고 있습니다. 지난 20일 개례당국은 내외의 비난과 항의도 불구하고 국군내 항성 침몰 사건을 우리와 억지로 연계시킨
Now the South Korean Renamed Group are persisting in their frantic conspiratorial racket against the DPRK after sinking of their warship in March last. On May the 20th, the South Korean puppet authorities announced the so-called results of investigation, groundlessly linking the warship sinking to us, despite public denunciation and protest at home and abroad. It triggers off a burning indignation of our army and people. The senseless acts of the South Korean puppets are an intolerable provocation against us and a deliberate and premeditated plot. In the so-called results of investigation, the South Korean conservatives categorically declare the case as an act of the North, but it reveals only their vulnerability as a laughingstock of the public at home and abroad. It is a very dishonest sophistry that the South Korean authorities groundlessly slander the fellow countrymen. Those seeking for a dishonest purpose are bound to persist in their mean conspiratorial moves to justify their acts. We can never pardon such wicked tricksters and a group of traitors to a nation who have invented a largely fraudulent farce to get rid of their worst ruling classes and realize their ambition for invasion of the North and with it as a pretext act rashly, groundlessly slandering fellow countrymen. The leaving the group will face a strong judgment of history only for the crimes that they drove the inter-Korean relations, favorably developing after the publication of the June 15th Joint Declaration interrupture, swimming against the trend of the times, and revived the pro-US fascist dictatorship in South Korea. Lee Myung-bak and other traitors of South Korea should bear full responsibility for the crimes against the nation and reunification, including the recent conspiratorial case, and clearly know that only merciless punishment will be given to the provokers. If the enemy provokes a war, all the workers of our Pyongyang General Printing House will take arms of revenge and clear the earth of the enemy so that he cannot act rashly under this sky.
You've been listening to a radio forum under the title, We'll Mercilessly Mow Down the Provokers. This is Voice of Korea.
Dear listeners, with this, we conclude English language service of Voice of Korea from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Voice of Korea presents its English language service for Europe between 13 and 14 hours UTC, between 15 and 16 hours UTC, between 18 and 19 hours UTC, and between 21 and 22 hours UTC on 13,760 kHz and 15,245 kHz. For North America, between 13 and 14 hours UTC, and between 15 and 16 hours UTC, on 9,335 kHz and 11,710 kHz. And for Northeast Asia, between 1 and 2 hours UTC, and between 3 and 4 hours UTC, on 7,200 kHz, 9,345 kHz, and 9,730 kHz. Goodbye, this is Pyongyang.